Get ready. この瞳は鮮やかに今君しか知らない、踏み込んで目覚める世界。
I think so. It was the guy who was on his bed talking about Gunpla and stuff, and like everything he said did not match up to the subtitle at all.
Are you talking about the one, the person that had all the anime posters all around and the like tons and tons of Macross, Minmay, I think they're Macross and Minmay posters above the bed, and the bed was like above about maybe 5 feet off the ground?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I just remember him talking about Gunpla, then like it was like 2 minutes later in the subtitles to actually mention something about
Gunpla. Blood plug.
Gunpla.
Oh, okay.
God,
like, I'm like, what the hell? Wow.
I got a friend texting me asking if I want to go to Anime Weekend Atlanta next weekend, but I really don't have the money.
Hmm.
So I'm not sure if he'll sponsor you or she'll sponsor you.
It's a dude. I don't know. Let me see.
So as long as you're my pimp and I go ahead and get to go ahead and hang with the 3Ds. Wow. Holy shit. I forgot what the hell Whiteout used to would go ahead and do to me. Damn.
What did you drink, son?
Mountain Dew Whiteout. So I finally ran out of Dark Dew.
And I have like no desire to drink Mountain Dew. I just don't.
You're a mellow yellow guy, aren't you?
Actually, the only thing I really drink is like Coke Zero or Diet Coke.
And that shit's worse for you. The aspirin alone will go ahead and cause you cancer.
I don't drink it all the time, though.
Don't matter. It really doesn't. It doesn't matter how much you drink. I mean, you could just take the one can to go ahead and boop, activate.
One can of Diet Coke causes cancer?
Yep.
Wow.
Can.
Has it been proven?
It doesn't matter how much exposure you have, how much you drink. I mean, if it's like, you know, 5-6 years down the road, it could be one can of Coke.
Like that one cigarette.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's why I quit smoking. Damn, I've been clean for 12 years.
Good for you.
Yeah, I know, right? Sweet. God, where the fuck is she?
So, John, have you started recording since we've been on the call?
Yeah.
So you got everything we set up until this point?
Well, not everything. Not the first couple of minutes, but most of it.
Okay.
You can edit it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely taking out what we mostly said before Amanda came on, so that doesn't need to be out in public.
Is it going just mean, Steve, or is it going to be you too, Dustin?
I don't really have much to say. Like, I kind of want to both Bible bash you over the head for liking a show like Mysterious Girlfriend X, but that's all I really got to say about it. But it's kind of more of a your show now, which I'm cool with. So I'm just going to just kind of sit here and chill. But I guess I can do introductions to get us started off. So yeah, welcome to another grand episode of the Cybernauts Cast, which we will have three shows to talk about. We have Steve and our current on-staff member who's now finally joining the podcast, Amanda Starr Duran.
Stare.
Stare. It's not star, but it's stare.
It is not star.
You do realize that I added you, because I thought you could be like an actual like contributing member to our podcast since before we started this. Like, I put you in our about section, and now you're finally on an episode like 3 months later.
I thought it was a guest star for the BGC ones, that's all.
Yeah, I know, but I wanted you as an actual member, but now you finally show up. Like, it's one of those, like, guests, an actual woman on the show. Surprise.
Oh my god, a girl!
They exist.
There are girls on the internet.
I know, there are girls out there that are pretty cool, semi-cool, that want to talk about anime with guys. Even though if they are taken. Alright, well, so back on the introduction, we have Amanda with us, and Steve, and of course our engineer, John, and I. This is mostly going to be Steve and Amanda talking about Mysterious Girlfriend X and Excel World, and just kind of give their thoughts and reviews about it. So whoever wants to take it away, you guys can go ahead.
I guess I'll start off with talking about Nazo no Kanojo X, Mysterious Girlfriend X. What I've basically done the last couple of seasons is basically just go through the list and watch what looks interesting. But the main thing that attracted me to Nazo no Kanojo was the art style. That's the first thing that really popped out in my mind, because the stills I saw of it, I was thinking, wow, this is like 90s character designs. It just really threw me out, because it reminds me of like the stuff you see in the early 90s, like Rumiko Takahashi stuff or Slayers even. Like, the hair and the eyes. It's very nostalgic feeling, really. So I pretty much jumped into the show pretty much blind, just being attracted by the character designs. I had no idea what the show was about or what the manga was about or anything. So me and my husband sat down and we watched this first episode, and I admit the first episode is really, really kind of weird. I mean, if you don't know what's going to be happening, it's really actually kind of squicky. Because all of a sudden, you get this drool thing going on, and it really threw me off. And I'm actually kind of I'm kind of a perverted person, but the whole drool thing kind of squicked me. I was just like, ugh. I mean, there's the whole thing with Urabe, who's the new girl in school, and she falls asleep in class, and Tsubaki sees the puddle of drool she left on her desk, and then he goes and he sticks his finger in the drool, and I'm sitting there yelling at the screen, why would you do that? No sane person would do that. Why
okay.
Would you do that?
Okay, no, this is all I have to say about the show. So I told you and Steve that I would like, okay, I'm going to give this show 2 episodes. It's pretty, everyone in the entire world, except for you two, want to admit that no, it's not a spit fetish show. Which clearly what I saw, it was a spit show. But first episode in, red flags start blaring about exactly six minutes in when she like barfs a gallon of spit on her desk or something. And he sticks his finger on it. And my only reaction could be like with those reaction videos people watch when they see two girls, one cup.
Oh, yeah.
So if I had a video of myself reacting to that, my face would never change from like scared as hell. And that stayed the entire first 2 episodes. And gah, I went to bed pissed off that night. I've never been so mad at
why are you mad?
Listening to you guys. Because I said I would give this show 2 episodes, and I was just like, they're completely insane for liking this.
If you can get past the first episode, it really is a very sweet show.
Okay, the second episode wasn't as...
The duel does play a major part of it, but if you get past that, the show really is very sweet and innocent. It is. He's got a chance.
it does have one positive to it, and I like how that character's room looks, like regarding like the science fiction posters posted up and everything. I thought that was the coolest part of the show, and then like I talked to Steve about it, and he's like, no, that never comes up. I'm like, well, screw that. That was the best part of that show. But what was the science? The science behind it was that he was sick, and she comes over there, and he's just like, I don't know why I'm sick, and he's just like, oh, because your love sickness, because, you know, you're in love with my drool or something, and you need it to sustain.
You need to have a helping of it every day or you get sick again.
And he's just like, oh, you must be an alien, which I would have went for that excuse. That made perfect sense. He's like, no, that's just how it is. I'm completely human, except for my hot topic goth girl exterior. I'm like, oh my gosh. But I thought, like, if it was about her having, like, scissors in her panties, they make paper mache, and I'm like, okay, that wouldn't have been that bad of a show. That's still not as crazy as the drool thing. I don't know.
I think we lost.
Yes.
There he is.
Yes. Here's the thing.
Okay, go ahead.
Now. I watched everything on up to August 23rd when they finally released the OVA out, so you know, subtitled, finally fan subbed, and I was like, okay, great, but I mean, that, you know, and like I said, if you think about this psychologically, I mean, okay, you know, spit into significant other's mouth. Okay, well, what's the difference of that when you're swapping spit anyway? I mean, the only thing that's missing is, well, the lip on lip, tongue, you know, entangled with tongue action. Am I right? Am I right? Yeah. I'm right, aren't I? Psychologically, I'm right.
But I don't need to see it like they did in this show.
like Amanda said, if you get past that, if you can get past that, well, it's a great show.
Okay.
I liked the school festival scene. School festival scene was hilarious.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, his ex-girlfriend and his current girlfriend in the same room.
Naked.
Exactly. And then of course, Oka comes walking in the room. And she's just like, what? What? I mean, you actually almost see her face just go aglow. Just like, wow, what type of perverted thoughts are you thinking? So, I mean, the only thing that makes me angry is that there's no second season. At least as we know of right now.
Well, keep in mind the manga is still ongoing. I mean, there's just not enough material for a second season yet. Although I would be thrilled if they decided to make a second season because I love this show so much.
Same here. And I'm hoping, and I honestly, I'm hoping to people out there, if you're listening, don't let this particular show go on the wayside like they did with Air Gear.
There's one more thing I noticed about Nozomi Okonjo is the fact that you never see any cell phones, you see no computers. It keeps the show from dating itself too much. It's like
no, I think there was
a story, pretty much.
No, there was a couple of scenes where there was a computer. Pretty sure.
Were there?
From what era, may I ask?
This is up to date. This is present day.
Oh, really?
Slice of life, yeah. Well, somewhat perverted slice of life, but still.
I another thing I will say that I kind of thought was positive was like the dream sequences he has. Those were pretty cool to look at, and they kind of told us sort of a plot.
The doll strapped to her head.
Huh?
Like the one where Urabe was sitting with the doll strapped to her head.
Yeah, that was pretty odd.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And Urabe is all flustered when she finds out. She's like, "Well, if we do it, I'm definitely not going to have a doll strapped to my head." I was cracking up at that because she was just so innocent during that scene. It was like, oh,
how cute.
With his tough and blunt as she is on the outside, you can see that she actually is very, very innocent. I mean, she's not like a tsundere, like, say, Taiga or Shauna or in the traditional sense, but she is very, she can be very sweet when she chooses to be.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. And the whole process of the exchanging of fluids per se. how they're able to actually bond. I think, you know, and they get closer. You know, you notice throughout the whole, you know, throughout the 13 episodes and the OVA, of course, how much closer they get. You know, they're more intimate, psychologically wise and emotionally wise. The relationship becomes more cemented, more solid.
I admit I've still not seen the OVA because I've been watching, kept trying to keep caught up on other stuff. But I'll definitely have to do that once this podcast is over. Let's go look for
definitely,
that.
Definitely.
Are we boring?
So, no, I'm not. So, like, does the show actually move from the drool fetish to an actual, like, somewhat decent show without drool?
The drool does feature in every episode, but it does take a little bit of a backseat compared to the actual school.
Right. Around episode 6, maybe 7, you start to see them move a little bit past, you know, actually a lot past, you know, spit, or saliva, and it's more, you know, relationship, interacting with peers, more like their best friends and stuff like that, classmates. Especially with Uko and Uno.
I did love the scene where Uko was trying to imitate Urabe's thing with the scissors, and she ended up stabbing her poor boyfriend in the forehead.
Right. Yeah. That was pretty funny.
Were they like the child's? Oh, no, they weren't the child scissors. They're like regular, like sewing scissors.
Oh, yeah, they're actual, real, deadly scissors, yes.
Deadly.
So it pokes her boyfriend in the head, but then, like, she keeps it in her panties and it doesn't, like, affect her there. And it's, like, on the side of her hip.
Who?
The girl. I mean,
Uka or Robbie?
Many girls in the show have scissors in their panties?
Robbie.
Well, admittedly, you'd also think that if they were actual sewing scissors, they'd be heavy enough that they would pull down her panties, but that doesn't happen. Anime physics. No gravity.
You see, you realize that makes more sense than the drill fetish. Like, regarding how scissors can't weigh down undergarments. Like, I can believe that.
But...
How cute that she didn't even take them off when she was at the beach in her swimsuit. She ended up having the tan line with the scissor outline.
I know, right? That's what I'm like, what? Wait, hello? Hello!
And Tsubaki thought she was just being a prude by staying covered up. Then she took off her sarong and revealed the tan line. And it was like, she's Louise, girl. You never take off the scissors or what? You sleep with them? Actually, I think she probably does.
Something. She like her a pair of something. Damn, I think I need something to drink. Oh, man. But honestly, though, Mysterious Girlfriend X is a fun... campy romp with the slice of life high school romance with the slight saliva fetish, yes. But as stated,
I didn't see a slight saliva fetish in those first two episodes, but I guess
said, well, you know, it's not like you went ahead. It's not like you went ahead and looked at, you know, she's out of the room and then just like face first with the tongue and across the desktop. Love that drool. Oh, gotta have some. You know? it's like crack.
Oh, you mean every boy doesn't look at a pile of drool and think, oh, I wonder what that tastes like.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Just that kid. But you realize that they were made for each other if that actually happened. Because what other guy would try drinking her drool? except for that kid.
That is true.
No, because it supposedly, it tastes so sweet.
So it's sweeter when she's aroused, apparently. Sweet.
Oh, yeah. It's supposed to taste more honey-like when she's horny.
He gets all hot and wonders, why am I so hot? What have you been thinking, Arame?
I like how this doesn't sound... I don't know like if this sounds closer to a hentai than like watching Wicked City.
No. No. The Wicked City is just hentai. Check it out. It's bush. It's blood. It's gore.
Half there was no, no, I don't think there was any bush in that.
Okay. No, there was. Well, there, come on. It's Wicked City.
Well, I know. I mean, but Wicked City is there to see if you would like, if you would be ever consider looking at tentacle porn. It's like that little, it's like a tutorial to see if like, well, we've discussed this.
So. Honestly, there's a major difference between the two. Major difference. Okay.
Well, I mean,
this is a love story. This is a love story.
This is an actual love story.
And Wicked City is, it's supposed to be.
Wicked City is a James Bond movie gone horribly wrong.
No. It's like, oh God, what would it be? Like Madison County meets Orozco Dojo. There you go, Wicked City. Now, I mean, you can compare Wicked City to Mysterious Girlfriend X. I mean, they're both love stories in their own warped sense, but Mysterious Girlfriend X is more towards the traditional girl-boy love story romance through high school thing.
Another thing I can definitely appreciate about Nazan Okonjo is the fact that the girl doesn't beat up the guy every time he looks at her weird. I mean, it seems like every other harem anime or comedy anime these days has the guy all of a sudden mysteriously falling down conveniently so his hands are on her boobs and she punches him, and that doesn't happen in this series. It's a very innocent show, very straightforward, more or less.
Yeah.
Didn't she slap him in the first episode? It's just refreshing.
Occasionally, but that happened. Well, he's basically commenting on doesn't she slap him at least once or twice in the first couple episodes? And yes, she does. But that happens in any story, though. I mean, that's obligatory. It is.
Okay.
And she did cut him with her scissors at one point, but it's obviously an accident because the look on her face, you just knew she felt so bad about doing that.
Yeah, she was like, oh my God, my aim was off. Oh my God.
She was horrified, yes.
Yeah.
What do you mean your aim was off? You have scissors in your hand. You're using scissors other than its intended purpose. Or trying to try scissor foo on me. Did she try scissor foo? I don't know. Can that even be a real martial art?
She made it into one.
I guess that's one of those, like, could that be plausible as, like, trying to learn Hokuto Shinken?
Dunno.
I don't know either. I want to believe, though. At least Hokuto Shinken.
I want to believe I can fly. I want to believe I can touch the sky.
If you guys got nothing else on Mysterious Girlfriend X, you guys...
Yeah, just, but people, bottom line, it's a good show. Okay? That's my opinion on it. It is a great show. It's not something that should be family-oriented. This is something, somebody coming of age, 16, 17... You're into cool, oddball, off the wall type anime. This is the one for you.
Oh, it's definitely off the wall, an oddball.
but it's a good show, and I hope to see. I personally hope to see season two, coming out Q1 for 2013. Amanda.
I don't really think I have anything more to add about Nazan Okonjo. I think you've pretty much said it.
Okay, cool. All right, shall we move on to our viewpoints on Excelworld?
Yay!
This was also a show that I saw like 15 minutes of when I stayed at a friend's house back in like during the spring. And all I saw was like this kid turned into a pig, and this girl had like wings, and a car was being thrown at him. And the girl took the hit for the car for the pig kid.
See,
and at a hospital.
Ahead. See, you
and that's
ahead.
All I know of this
yeah,
show.
Yeah, yeah. See, you went ahead and got right in smack dab into the middle.
Well, dude, it was right there in the living room. Like this guy I was staying with, like it was my friend's coworkers, and like this, he rooms with this Asian dude, and his name's Charles. He's cool, but like he was watching like that and like One Piece, and then I later showed him the GoGo 13, the TV episodes, which those are awesome, anyways, but. Like, he put that on, and, like, I was trying not to pay attention, and then I just went, all right, screw it, I'll just check out, I'll see what the show's like. And then I saw it, and I was just like, all right, pig, man. I don't get it. But you guys can definitely explain that to me.
We will, happily.
I like Haru. Haru, Crow is, Silver Crow is the underdog. Okay,
I think we need to start from the beginning for poor Destin here. He's always seen.
Yeah, there seems to be like a game involved in this or something.
Yes.
Like,
well, no. I don't think. Honestly, I wouldn't call it a game. I mean, it's portrayed as a game, but I think of it as psychological conditioning. In my opinion.
Go on.
I mean, we're talking. The Seven Kings, we're talking, you hit level 10 and you basically win. You've achieved that point where things are revealed, per se. Okay? But it's all a matter of competition. And it starts off with Haru, what can I say?
Haruyuki is he's pretty much not your normal anime protagonist, because normally the main character, he's tall, he's handsome, he's very generic looking, but Haruyuki is different because he's short, he's fat, and therefore he gets bullied, and he has pretty much very low self-esteem, which is normal for a bullied kid, and then the most popular girl in school, Kuroyuki Hime, she takes pity on him pretty much, and she decides to introduce him to another world where he can have some fun, and so she...
But honestly, can you say that she pitied him? I don't think so. I think there was an ulterior motive on there. I think she actually thought he was very interesting.
Oh, because of his, the way he performed in that one game, his speed, right? If I'm remembering correctly.
Right. The one thing that he was actually really good at. The one thing that, made him happy. The one thing that he could actually go ahead and work his frustration out on.
Yes.
I mean, you're right. Keep going.
Well, as far as the pig thing goes, that's his school avatar, and even Chiyu asked him why he hasn't changed his school avatar, and he said, well, I just got used to it, so I kept it. And the thing with Kuroyuki Hime, her school avatar is with the butterfly wings and the black dress, and in Excel World, their avatars change again based on what traumas they've suffered in their lives. So we've got Kuroyuki Hime, who becomes Black Lotus with the swords and the sharp feet and everything, and then Haruyuki becomes Silver Crow, who actually becomes the first flying avatar to ever exist in the game.
Right, and one thing that should be noted is your dual avatar is very predominantly produced and created by your mental scars.
Yes.
Your psychological trauma.
So this is a game where you have an avatar, but it's created based on like emotional problems that you have.
Yeah, based on something. Your experiences and current issues. Yes.
Right.
Okay. So that's part of this game that they're kind of playing, I guess, or that you said it's sort of a game.
It should also be noted that time does flow a little bit differently in the game. So, like, 1 second in the real world equals 17 minutes in the real game. So you could be playing inside the game for hours and hours, but only, like, five minutes.
A half an hour to, yeah, it could be a half an hour. What was it? 3 weeks was, like, an hour when she was on vacation over in
Okinawa?
Yeah.
Well, I think in the most recent episode, she said she'd logged in a minute before everyone else, and it took her 17 hours to get to where they were. So I guess judging by that, 1 minute is 17 hours.
Right.
Although if you consider 1 second is 17 minutes, I'm not sure the math quite adds up there, but let's not get into that.
Right. And there's a lot of interaction in this particular series. I mean, even during the vacation, the week in Okinawa, I mean, even her high school, her childhood
Skyraker.
Yes. Her childhood friend in high school, she was a burster at one point. And you see, during this part of the segment while she's on vacation, you see that there's a battle going on. And you see one of the, you get to see one of the, how shall I say it, one of the malcontents, one of the ones that don't show up on the battle roster. You see one of them show up in there. And during this battle and everything, her childhood friend walks in where her and the twins are actually jacked in already.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and
she walks in just because everybody believes.
Right, for whatever reason, subconsciously, because she, I think, this is just my opinion, okay? This is just my theory on this, is she used to be a burst linker. But for whatever reason, she lost. Burst Link was uninstalled.
Well, if it was uninstalled, she wouldn't have been able to get back into the game, though.
Let me finish.
Okay.
Of course, there is always the temporary memory dump cache. I mean, unless the memory dump cache is completely cleaned on out, there is a backup. As gradual, you know, granulated and fragmented as it is still there. And then subconsciously, she knew she was there. She knew that. That she was well. That Miyazawa was in danger. She could feel it. And Burst Link, for whatever reason, whatever, you know, was left, allowed her to go in one more time and help Miyazawa out. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, that is a logical assumption just by, you know, what you saw.
I'm sure if they probably go into more detail about her story in the light novel, but although I wouldn't know anything about it. But yeah, it even said in the anime, though, once you lose all your points in the game and you die, the program gets permanently uninstalled and you can't reinstall it again, so...
Yet somehow she was able to get in and help Miyazawa.
I guess you could write a fanfic speculating on that if you want.
No, I actually think it will be revealed at some point.
I think the series is almost over, though, so unless they say something in the light novels, I really am not completely sure.
Now, I'm hoping it's not going to go ahead and end too soon, because, I mean, I want to see what happens with these, you know, these dillweeds, per se, that don't show up on the battle list. What happens to them? What are they? Who are they?
Well, as far as the Nomi arc goes, we still have one more episode left, so I guess we'll see, have to see what happens, won't we?
Right, and honestly, I can see another 24 episodes coming up. I could see a season 2.
We haven't discussed Chiyu yet. I think Chiyu is actually kind of an interesting character.
Yeah, and the Chiyu and Mayuzumi. Oh, I'm sorry. And
Taku?
Yes. Sorry.
One of the things about Chiyu for me is, well, I'm a sucker for any character who's voiced by Aki Toyosaki, because she did Yui and Kaon. She did last season. She did Madoka and Madoka Box and Aoi and Beelzebub. And normally her characters are very sweet, innocent, loving people, but Chiyu, she's just annoying as heck.
Well, and for this particular character, for her to be, how should I say this? Being used as a rechargeable Kleenex. I mean, she goes ahead and heals the bad guy.
Yeah, she joined up with Nomi. That is correct.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still beside myself on trying to find out what the hell's going on with that. I mean, I'm on episode 21 right now, so I haven't seen 22 and 23 yet. But honestly, I'm just beside myself going, WTH? You know, I mean, seriously. She's supposed to be Taku's love interest, but I mean, there's something more in there. There's something, you know, going on, and
it is possible she joined up with him to try to find a way to secretly beat him, even though all she can do is heal.
Yeah, but I mean, there are several different times where Haru and Taku were about to just completely destroy him.
Then she
goes ahead, just shows up, boom, heal. It's like, what? Why? I'm just like, I'm not the only one either. Several people are all just like, you know, jaw drops and just, what?
Like, Chiyu, why?
So, I mean, I've got to go ahead and watch 22 and 23 to find out, you know, maybe what's going on. Maybe that'll go ahead and, you know, maybe get some insight onto what caused that type of for her to go ahead and be possessed or whatever. You know?
At the beginning of, I believe, 23, Chiyu does explain her reasoning, but I'm not going to spoil it for you, so I'll let you go ahead and.
Spoilers. Just like River Song would say, spoilers.
No, I'm not going to spoil it for our listeners here in case they're not caught up.
Yeah. Yeah, we're basically just covering ground, you know, earlier issues and episodes. I like the fact that Haru is an underdog who's fighting his way up. I'm one of those guys that will root for people like Haru.
Absolutely, yeah. I've heard some people complain. Well, I would like the show, but the protagonist is fat. It's like, well, no one's gonna be making fun of a tall, handsome, acne-free kid. So there's gotta be a reason for him being bullied. So they made him short and fat. Make him a little more of a sympathetic character.
Very true. Very true. I just, you know, I happen to like the fact that excuse me. That Misawa, you know, sees Haru for who he is, not for what people see him as. And that's what kind of, you know, made me keep watching. And, you know, it's one of the factors that kept me coming back was that, you know, hey, this is an underdog. This is an underdog series that, you know, and if you think about it, it deals with bullying, being able to, you know, regain your self-esteem, your self-respect, and just not taking shit from anybody anymore and being able to just stand up for yourself and stand up for your friends. Mm-hmm. So I'm a sucker for those type of series. I am. Coming from the background and upbringing I had, I can definitely relate with this particular series.
I got bullied quite a bit in middle school too, so I can relate to Haruyuki. Feel like an outcast too.
So, but
he does still have a way to go. But we've definitely seen Haruyuki mature through the series. He's definitely gotten.
Oh, definitely. There's a lot of mature. There's a lot of growth on maturity. And even life lessons. This is definitely a futuristic slice of life. I'm seeing a lot of cyberpunk type action, you know, with this mixed in with just everyday school life, and that's also another factor that that drew me in was the fact that, you know, you can actually go ahead and cyber battle.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yes, Excel World, people. If you haven't seen it yet, you can see it on Hulu. Definitely get the manga. The mangas and the light novels are excellent. It's definitely one for a collection. I for one am going to go ahead and wait for the box set though. Amanda?
Do you know if anybody has licensed XL World yet? I know Nozomo Kanozu got picked up. What about XL World? I'm trying to remember if anybody got that or not.
Did Funimation picked up anime or Mysterious Girlfriend?
I think it was Sentai that picked that up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, let me see if XL World got picked up at all.
I wonder if they're going to treat it like the GoGo 13 TV sets and like, oh, here's the whole series for $60.
Well, if it's going to be picked up, it's Viz, and I think Viz was the one that went ahead and picked it on up. So, I would say look through Viz Media.
I know Viz is streaming it. I do not know if they have the rights to it. So let me just look here.
I'm pretty sure they're the ones that have it.
Yeah, the only articles I'm seeing say that they're streaming it, but I do not know if they have the rights to it for DVD release.
Let me check here. Yeah. If you go on into Google, do Excel World licensed. The second one, Excel World is licensed off of the Anime Suki forum.
Ah, awesome.
You know, we've got to go ahead and thank Anime Suki for going ahead and helping out with bringing Excel World out. So, props up to them.
Hooray for them.
Woo!
Other than that, you know, if you guys got PS3 or PSP, Bandai Namco... they hold the Excel World license for the games, based off of one of the light novels. They even have it in with English subs. So, you know, if you enjoy this series, definitely pick up the game off of the PS3 Sony network. Amanda, it's yours.
I'm pretty much done. I don't really have anything else to add for Axel World.
Okay. All right.
So I've been getting text messages from a buddy of mine who's going to AWA next weekend, mm-hmm. and there's only one panel that you're not going to believe that's happening that I want to go to, but I don't know if I'm going to crash it or do a better job hosting it, and I want to know who's hosting it. Someone's doing a Bubblegum Crisis panel.
Okay.
Really?
Yes, I didn't think
that. First I've heard of it.
I don't know who's hosting it. I'm trying to figure it out. I wonder if it's Gerald from Anime World Order that's doing it. Like, he would be, like, the only guy I would know that would do a panel like that. That's just, like, so much maybe some amateur people or something. I don't know.
Hmm. Definitely strange.
I'll have more information about that.
Yeah, like, indeed. I wonder if it's done by the convention staff. Like, it's headed up by Dave Merrill, and he's, like, the biggest anime nerd. Like, Tim Eldred's going to be there, and, like, he's been in the anime industry doing comics and stuff forever. Like, I got a buddy of mine who's sending me text messages because they got a hotel set up, and they're going for all 3 days. I don't really have the money. Unless I go there and, like, eat really cheap.
Well, you know, you could always go ahead and hit the dollar store now and start going ahead and supply, you know, just slipping in all of your non-perishable edibles into your suitcase.
Oh, dude, there's a ton of like Cliff Bars in my food closet. So,
well, then all you need to go ahead is, you know, get whatever caffeinated drink that you go ahead and like, and
they've got a History of Hentai panel. I got a good idea that Gerald from Anime World Order is hosting that. That would actually be pretty interesting to go to.
Hmm.
Although, granted,
the only information I've found about the BGC panel is that it's pretty much celebrating the 25th anniversary. That's pretty much all I've found on the AWA website.
We're the ones that freaking promoted it back when it was 25 years. They're 8 months late, those slackers. They have no right to do a panel like this. Wait, is it actually on their website? Hold up.
Link
it.
Link here.
So these posers know who they're dealing with. I don't know.
Well, technically it is still the 25th anniversary since it is still 2012 right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it still is.
Well, February 25th, 1987.
I mean, the true 25th.
Official. Yes, that was the true day.
Yeah, I'm looking at this list too, but it, like, I checked the forum and there's like nothing there about who's hosting us. Well, Fred Schultz's going to be there, the guy who did the Gundam novels. So like, I would have something to sign. Like, I've only got like $200 on my bank account, and like, I'm supposed to get more money from school since they're giving out checks by next week.
Right.
But I got to hold on to that because I'm going to Banzai Con, and that's only for a day, and I need to hold on to that money. So, Yaya Han is going to be there for the Sociology of Cosplay, which I thought it was Scientology of Cosplay.
It's too bad I used up all my vacation days. Otherwise, I would go ahead and go to AWA just to go to that panel.
You never tell me when you go to like freaking Dragon Con. You're like, I'm at Dragon Con. I'm like, I forgot that was this time of year.
I know. I told all these guys. I'm like, hey, check this out. You know, her name's Amanda. She's going to be at Dragon Con. Go meet her. Do a meetup just so you know me. And then did anybody try to find you, Amanda?
An online friend of mine said he saw me in a group, but he didn't try to introduce himself. He just walked on by.
Really?
Other than that, no one came up to me saying, oh my god, are you Amanda? Nope, nothing happened like that.
You know that Sean Ryan guy, when we had him on for a Bubblegum Crisis episodes, yeah. He was there too. I told him about you. I was like, you guys might run into each other, but chances are you're probably dead.
I changed costumes so many times, probably wouldn't be able to find me anyway if I said, I'm going to be in this costume at this time, because it was very spontaneous, the costume changes, so.
Yeah.
I was doing like 2 or 3 costumes a day.
They got a Gundam Wing fan fiction panel.
No!
That's just sad.
How would you do that? People are still infatuated with Gundam Wing?
We got our next Gundam month coming up with AC stuff, and I need to rewatch Gundam Wing. I've been wanting to rewatch it for like 5 years now. I've just been lazy. Because I'm wondering, like, was it really all that bad?
Well, the only thing I have to say about Gundam Wing is that 10 years ago, I did get some pictures with Scott McNeil, who is Duo's English voice actor, and I got pictures of him kissing me on the cheek.
Now that's cool.
That's about all I'll say about that. I do have pictures to prove it.
So, yeah, Vic Filet Mignogna is going to be an anime world order.
Vic Mignogna, however you say his name, I don't know.
No,
Vic McMultimold?
Magnolia. Yeah, I was emailing, since I've got an interview pretty much set up at Anime or Bonsai Con with Tiffany Grant. Like, I was trying to say, like, yeah, you know, Vic's going to be there. And I was just like, hell if I can say his last name. And she's like, just think filet mignon and then just add an next to it. So I'm like, well, now thanks to you, I think I can only think of filet mignon when I think of Vic Mignogna.
Well, you know that at one point in time, I actually tried to go ahead and set up an online interview, and he completely blew me off.
I really don't even want to meet this guy at Bonsai Con, but I'm just like, I have stuff he can sign, which is like a couple of things, but I mean, I'll do it anyways, but I'm more interested.
It's gotten to the point where I don't even care anymore. I don't. I mean, my daughter has a lot of Full Metal Alchemist stuff that, you know, I know she'd just drop, you know, if I said, hey, look who I got to sign this. Oh, but honestly, at this point, it's not worth it to me. I mean, he's just, you know, he's showing his colors, and they're not very pretty.
Well, I did tell you that story about what I heard about how he got banned from Animazement a few years ago.
Yeah, which is sad.
I mean, who knows if he's still doing that now. So, I mean, he probably still has, like, a harem of women that follow him around. They're, like, still in high school.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
I mean, and I'm sure you're going to be the type of dad who's just, like, her rebellious state is to run away and join the harem of women to follow Vic. And you're like, no, you're disowned from this family.
Exactly. I mean, let the female weebos go ahead and follow him, you know. Honestly.
Yeah.
Well,
whatever. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm. I don't know. My friend's just like, he's got a hotel picked out, and I'm like, do I need to pitch in? He's like, we're trying to work it out. I'm like, can I get in for free? But I don't know. I guess like that would give me opportunity time to photograph everything that weekend. But oh well. I really can't go anyways. But I'll pretty much will think about it. But I gotta let him know. Well, at least when I get there, like, there's something for me to do, but I feel like I got a feeling that all my money's gonna be gone, because even if I try, like, saving it, and I really don't have enough. Because that's a huge con to go to. Like, it's not adequate enough for me to go there with, like, $200. There's no way.
Yeah.
I'm a bad spender, and I admit it. You don't take someone who has like an alcoholic problem to pick up one thing, a case of beer at a liquor store without them buying the whole liquor store up. It can't be done. Like,
right.
But yeah. Dang. I wish someone's got to videotape that panel. I got a feeling it's done by the Anime World Order guys. I know it is. It has to be.
Well, come on, Dustin. I mean, you know that we know somebody that's going to be there. You know, at least one of the listeners out there will go ahead and pipe up and say, hey, you can always get a volunteer out to them. Anybody that's going to this con, that's going to go ahead and be there for the entire time, we'd like to have footage. Would you please go ahead and be our remote camera person for the con, for this particular panel?
If I can get this episode out next week before the convention. That's saying if I can.
Right.
Then that might be plausible. So I haven't still finished editing the 5th episodes yet. And then I haven't even touched Pat Labor yet at all. So
okay.
But I mean, I've got stuff to post, so we're good. It's not like we're not, like I said, like over the phone, like it's not like we don't have any content to post up on the site. I'm just like swamped with school right now. And I'm trying to get my panel ready for Balance Icon.
That's totally completely understandable, yeah. Oh, and John.
Oh, yeah. Hello.
So, I mean, he's just been back there doing the whole, you know, audio recording thing.
Smoking his hookah.
With a 64 ounce of Mountain Dew.
I'd love to do one for Ixer One sometime.
Ooh, that would be nice.
I've actually got some tapes of Ixer 3. I don't have, like, it's a 3-part OVA, but I only got the first two.
You have to.
That's sitting on my VHS shelf of stuff I have to watch soon. Go on.
You have to watch Ixer 1 and Ixer 3, and I've heard you shouldn't even bother with Ixellian, so I haven't bothered with it.
I've seen Ixer 1, but that was a few years ago, or a couple of years ago.
Ixer 1 is cool. I enjoyed it.
Ixer 1 has such a bad dub. Of course, it wasn't a
good
dub.
I didn't think it was that superior, but it wasn't like terrible at all. Like, no. I was just like, this is okay.
Yeah.
Well, some stuff didn't translate well, but that's for another time. We're doing an actual discussion for it.
Definitely. John, with Anime Banzai coming up here, you think you might drive on up?
I'll think about it if we have a car free. My mom goes to like jewelry shows, so sometimes we don't have a car on the weekend, but If I'm available, maybe.
Okay. Well, I could talk to one of the guys on staff over there, see what can be arranged.
We could try to get like press passes. Zionic has done that with some cons because of the podcast.
Well, I've offered it. I got in as a press pass for Banzai Con. I mean, that's a free ticket, anyways. So. Like, I just asked the guy, like, what I would need to do what I had to get set up for a pass, and I gave him our site, and he's like, yeah, that's good enough. And he's just like, just go to the con table or go to our staff table and pick your pass up. I'm like, holy crap.
Nice.
Like, this guy actually believes this is a legitimate website. Psst. Shh, don't say anything.
Did you tell them that we'd interviewed Robert Woodhead or something? That probably is.
I think I probably did. That's like our badge of, like, hey, you know who we got on the show? Robert freaking Woodhead.
The guy who invented RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The guy who invented Wizardry? The guy who was in the movie Real Genius with Val Kilmer, which I forgot to interview him about that.
One of the...
It was on the Wikipedia page. It's like, oh yeah, I've seen Real Genius. Wait, I have it on DVD that I haven't opened yet, but I've had that for 3 years because I'm so lazy. Hey, now, I've been tackling my Jean-Claude Van Damme DVD collection, so I watched a few days ago.
Yeah, well, what about the new Universal Soldier movie coming up here in, like, Q2?
Wait, they're doing a remake of Universal Soldier?
No, I don't think it's a remake. I think it's an actual sequel, dude.
So that would be the third Universal Soldier movie.
Yep.
I haven't seen the second, I don't think.
I think it's the fourth, actually. There was a third
Done. They made a third one? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
See, I've got the first one on Blu-ray, and I've seen that like two or three times on TV, so... Oh, man. We should probably do like a Jean-Claude Van Damme month, or like the Muscles with Brussels month, and talk about Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. And I still don't have all of them. Like, I want to rewatch Kickboxer.
Let's see here. Universal Soldier in 1992. Universal Soldier 2, Brothers in Arms in 1998, direct video sequel. Universal Soldier 3, Unfinished Business, another 98, direct video sequel. Universal Soldier, The Return, 1999. Official sequel to Universal Soldier. Universal Soldier Regeneration, a 2010 film, and the third in the official Universal Soldier series. There was Universal Soldier Day of Reckoning, which debuts next month on the 25th, video on demand, followed by a theatrical run starting a week after Thanksgiving.
Damn. So, like, there's been six of these movies, but three of them are official?
Yeah.
What the crap?
Well, there are side stories. There are side stories involved. So, I've seen like two of them. And they were, not all that and a bucket of chicken nuggets.
Yeah, I can tell. Well, Amanda ducked out, so I think we can wrap this up. So,
all right. Well, any closing remarks?
I think I'm like, someone record that BGC panel at Anime World or Anime Week in Atlanta. If I happen to put this episode out in time, which I don't know. Who knows? Amanda? But she left.
And then she left? Oh, wow.
Yeah, she said she had a duck out. So, I don't know. I guess I can improvise and be like, BGC forever! that's Amanda's.
Wow.
John, what's your final remark, man? Good enough.
I don't know.
Oh, here we go. Brownies.
All right. Well, okay. I guess I'll tack this on to our.
One more last remark.
Okay.
People out there, sponsor Dustin Copleen at BonsaiCon. Send your taxable dollars to the Let's Send Copleen to BonsaiCon Foundation. Give all you can. Closing remark.
That sponsorship I could really use. I guess it's extra gas money to pay my brother, so that would help.
There you go.
Wait, we need to set up a PayPal unless people want to hand me money at my panel, which I'm down with that too. So I wonder if I set up a tip jar, people would be like, oh my gosh, I can tip this guy for doing a panel. That might actually work. I mean, like, the people that dumb? I mean, gullible? I mean, grateful?
I think you just killed it for yourself right there.
Shut up. I can edit this if I choose. Okay, I think we're done.
Okay. Mission complete.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Cybernauts Cast. Do you want more of what we got? If so, check us out over at our website at cybernautscast.wordpress.com. If you wish to leave us an email on, anything, then shoot one over at cybernautscast@gmail.com. Check us out on iTunes and leave a review, why don't you? We'll see you next week, same Cybernauts time, same Cybernauts channel.